This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Hello, thank you for inviting me. I should say that I'm specifically talking today as the director of the Careers Group. AGCAS, the voice of the careers and employability professionals, is also a shared service, but I was invited to talk specifically about the Careers Group, so that's what I'm going to talk about. Employability is really easy. I don't really know why we need conferences about it. It's an incredibly easy thing to do. All you have to do is to ensure that you choose the right students to come into your institution. You ensure that the students have actually chosen their degree wisely. You then ensure when they get there that they get the widest possible range of opportunities and experiences, both within the curricula and outside of the curriculum. You then ensure that the students actually understand themselves, their skills, their abilities, their interests and their values. You then ensure that they understand the world of work, and they understand, therefore, where their interests and values, where those their skills and abilities will be best used. And if they find that their values and interests lead to a job where they haven't actually got the skills and abilities for, then all you have to do is to provide all that range of plethora of opportunities that you mentioned earlier to ensure that they then develop those skills and abilities. You might also have to have a little bit of an engagement with the academic staff to encourage them to change the way that they teach and to change the way that they assess in order to encourage some of those skills to be developed. It's dead easy, you know. You then introduce them to the absolute widest possible number of employers and employment opportunities. Because, as we all know, the key to people getting a job, particularly 6 months after they graduate, which is how we're going to be assessed in future, is to give them relevant work experience, and we've just heard a lot about a scheme there. You then, of course, have to actually ensure that they're proficient in the mechanics of getting a job, transition as we call it. They have to actually be able to apply, they have to be able to do the interview, they have to be able to tap into the unadvertised job market network, be basically superhuman in order to be able to make that transition. Crucially, if you're going to get the job for them 6 months after they graduate, you have to pretty well start from day one. Because a lot of them are very immature in this process. So they have to have a go, have an idea of what they want to do, test it out, realise it's not for them, have another go, decide something different, dads tell them they ought to do something different. They have to make all that transition. And as all the research knows, they have done that by three years after they graduate. Most people, 3 years after they graduate, are in a job that they like and that suits them and works. But actually, we've got to get them to do it 6 months after they graduate, so we've got to start from year one, which means we've got to embrace the academic staff and get the academic staff to spot the people who are struggling early on and then to have some sort of system to help them. Of course, there will be those that need more help because they can't write, they can't speak, and they can't add up. And we will have to have, as I say, academics to spot them and ways to send them to remedial help. Students from non-traditional backgrounds might well need particular support because the learning curve for some of them is actually greater, particularly into the graduate level careers. Of course, you've also got to, if you're actually dealing with employability, actually know about the employment market in every single country that you've got international students coming from, because they will want to go back to their own country. And, of course, you also have to understand everything there is to know about work permits because they might actually want to get jobs in this country. See, it's really easy. And, of course, you really ought to do all of this specifically to undergraduates, to taught masters, to researchers and to contract researchers because they're different audiences and they have different needs. And if you really want to make an impact, you have to bespoke it and deliver it through departments because that is where these people have their allegiances to. And, of course, once you've provided all this water, you've got them to make them want to drink it. So you have to have top-of-the-range careers and employability marketing through every single channel, every single media there is, and you've got to embrace each new media as it comes along. And after they graduate, it would be a really good idea to have some kind of resource that would give them remedial help, particularly in that 6 months, so that the ones that haven't actually got a job actually will get a job in that time. And then when you come to collecting the destination data, you want to make sure that you've got the top professional people collecting that destination data who know everything there is to know about the way that they conduct market research to ensure that they get every little bit of information out of the students. and to ensure that they code your data as professionally and as well as they can in order to get your return to be as good as it can be without breaking the rules. And quite possibly, to deliver all of this, some institutions will have one woman in a waste paper basket. Some might even have 20 women and 20 waste paper baskets. And that's why I don't understand why more of you don't follow the shared service model. Because if you actually combine the people that you've got in your institutions, the careers group's got 124 staff. So we can actually deliver quite a lot of this. But not every one of those 124 staff have to deliver all of it, because we can specialise. We can deliver breadth and depth because of the range of people that we've got and the fact that we're delivering services through full services to 17 institutions, partial services to another 50 or so institutions. So I don't understand why you don't get together in your regions or in like institutions to actually share more of this work. Because it is a big ask. We know what we have to do, but it is a big ask. The amount of resources you have to put into it, and particularly to ensure that all students gain access to it, is huge. So you actually have to find ways of, particularly in the shrinking resourcing market, you have to find ways of resourcing it. Now, I was going to bore you stiff and go through every single one of those points and give you examples of work from the careers group, but I decided it would sound like a horrendous kind of advert. But just this is something we do before anybody gets here. We run taster courses across the whole of London, not just for University of London students, but for any institution in London. There's a whole programme of taster courses. It obviously has a wider, deeper, better reach. It means we can run special events for careers teachers, for parents. We run taster courses which are not just about finding out what it's like to study mechanical engineering. We actually do things which are about what can you do with a mechanical engineering degree, so linking up that whole aspirational issue, focusing on the employment outcomes. Individual institutions would struggle to do this. If you combine all together with all the institutions in London, it's much easier to do it. Again, that widest experience. We have two specialist entrepreneurial careers advisors who service the whole 17 colleges. We have systems to run the volunteering unit. We have on-campus temporary temp staff agencies, etc. All much easier to do because you're all working collaboratively. And I think the key point, because I know that I'm short of time, the key point that is really important when you're trying to share services is to think about what is best done centrally, what is best done collaboratively across lots of institutions, and what is best done locally. Because you will always need to have some kind of local delivery, because that will give you that little competitive edge. But you can do a lot of what I call the grunt work, centrally or collaboratively, to give you more time to do the more specialist stuff. I'm going to shoot through some of these. Again, when it comes to employers, it's easier to get breadth and depth if you've got a lot of people working towards it. And particularly in our institutions, there won't be enough students interested in a particular work area to make it cost-effective for that institution alone to put on some kind of event around it. But if you coalesce all the 17 institutions, there'll be enough students to make it a good return on your investment. And some of you might be sitting there saying, well, it's all right for London, because they're just, you know, across the street from each other, so it's really easy to collaborate. You know, I couldn't do it in my area. But actually, you can. Because nowadays, so much of it is delivered on technology platforms. I mean, we know people are listening to this talk now and watching it go out all across the country. You can actually collaborate a lot more than you might think. Careers Tag is a perfect example of this, what I'm saying about central, federal, and local. It's an online careers library, which not only has information in it, but it also has jobs, events, everything in one place, and you can search it by all sorts of different methods. It was collaboratively imagined. It was one of those, wouldn't it be great if we had one of these things? It was then centrally built. The technology platform was actually built centrally. But it is actually collaboratively populated. All of the information staff in all of the different colleges are actually uploading their information to this site. And so therefore you have the amalgamation of all those people and all that effort. But when it's actually delivered into colleges, it will be locally badged. So it will look as if it's a King's College careers tagged, or a UCL careers tagged, or a St Mary's careers tagged. So it's locally envisaged at that end. International students is a perfect example. It's really, really difficult to support international students individually. If in your region you chop up the world and you've got a couple of institutions looking after Asia and another institution looking after Africa and somebody else looking after the Americas, then you can actually get a lot more depth of information and then share it across the piece. That's one just locally badged. The jobs is a good one. People in UCL don't want to share their jobs with people in King's. So you have to build platforms that will work for that. So what we actually have is we have a platform where all of the centrally sourced vacancies, we have somebody who's on the phone all the time sourcing vacancies centrally, they'll be uploaded into the central, if you like, white brand site, which is then translated into a college-based site where the local jobs are then added onto it so that you've still got that local flavour. That's the post-graduation work. One area which I think is very interesting is the destinations and the destinations collection. We actually collect the destinations for a vast number of institutions now. And one of the things that I think is lovely about it is that because we've taken the pain of the collection away from institutions, and we've actually created interactive websites where the data is, if you like, automatically analysed, it then leaves the professionals on the ground to actually begin to make really good use of the data. So we've just had somebody doing an analysis, somewhat scary, of the standard occupational codes, which is a rough marker for graduateness, and comparing that with what activities they have actually undertaken as they've gone through university, and indeed mapped it to departments so that we can identify the departments that need remedial assistance. So I'm a great advocate, I should just say this is a work in progress. It's very blurry. Somebody thought this was a really great idea, and it seems to be working. The colleges love it. They took the data from all these different platforms, from destinations, from careers tagged, from the job sites, etc., and using the tags have now created individual websites for each department at departmental level. So that this is politics and international relations, and it drags everything in together nicely. Why it works so nicely is the machine does it, which can bespoke it, and so it's very cost effective. So why wouldn't you go for shared services? You get 122 staff versus one woman and a waste paper bin. You get breadth and you get depth. And as I say, it's really important to think about what you do centrally, what you do collaboratively, and what you do locally. But none of it will work unless you have a plan. And this, I think, is the bit where I sometimes really despair, and I'm allowed to be despairing because I've been in the business for so long. An institution asked me to run their recruitment fair for them, not me personally, you understand, the organisation. And they said the students were really dissatisfied with it last year. They want to change it. They didn't like it. And they want us to run something that's got, you know, better employers in it. You know, like sort of Goldman Sachs and the BBC. Of course, our students won't get jobs with those people, but we really want them to come to our recruitment fair because that will increase student satisfaction. That's a really interesting dilemma that we have at the moment, because at the moment, career services are very focused on student satisfaction and student-centred. Now, in the new fees regime, we are going to be focused on outcomes, employability. So we're going to have to start asking our questions. Do we want our recruitment fair to have lots of employers in it that the students don't have a hope in hell of getting jobs to? Do we want our recruitment fair to make lots of money? Do we want our recruitment fair to actually represent the broad range of employers, which the students might not be interested in? Or do we want our recruitment fairs to actually help them get jobs, in which case what you do is you analyse your destination data for the last 3 years down to the last inch and ensure that all the employers that you have at your recruitment fairs are the kinds of employers that will really recruit your students. And those are decisions that have to be taken at an institutional level. And we have to engage institutions with those discussions about what is it that you want And one of the things that I've noticed coming in as a shared service provider is it's, for whatever reason, it's often very difficult for the incumbent careers service to have those conversations with their institutional managers, whereas me coming in from the outside can often have those discussions and then feed them back to their institution. I'm going to shut up now.